Hi, I'm Chun Yi-sung from Georgia Tech. I'm here to present work impeding automated malware analysis with environment-sensitive malware. This is a joint work with my colleague Paul Royer and my professor, Dr. Wenqi Li. So here is a brief agenda. I will first talk about background, then how to introduce how we're going to do malware analysis. And
oh, sorry.
Okay. Is that better? Okay. Okay. Let me talk like this. Okay. So let's skip this. And so malware is a centerpiece of our current threat on internet. So it's used to. Let me just hold it. It's used to. Botnet. It's not. Okay, so should I just continue or wait? Okay. Okay. Thank you. So malware is used to assemble botnet, which is used to first send spams doing DOS or steal your sensitive information. So there is a great demand on analyzing this malware and understand their behaviors. So the collected information can then be used to detect similar malware, used to dismantle their infrastructure, or used to repair damaged system. So as these activities threatens the profit model of the attackers, have been continually developed new anti-analysis techniques, such as the obfuscation technique and analysis environment detection techniques. And in response, the defenders have also come up with new analysis techniques or analysis environment to handle these anti-analysis malwares. This armories has lasted for decades, and yet neither side has claimed definite advantages. So from this armories, we have observed two fundamental challenges for obfuscation techniques. The first is analysis environment detection is not reliable. And the second is, if you really want to do something malicious, it's impossible to hide like high-level behaviors, for example, seismical trace or network activities from analysis program. So based on these two observations, we have set up a goal for our techniques. That is, we're not going to make each malware instance analyzable. Instead, we're just going to make the analysis process unscalable. So given the fact that malware is growing exponentially, there's hundreds of thousands of samples collected every day, if this process is not scalable, then basically you can't handle malware by just using analysis. So now I would introduce how we're going to do this. So previously, malware is analysis environment aware, which means they will try to detect if they are executing an environment, the analysis environment. But we think malware could also be analysis environment oblivious. This is because malware is overwhelmingly collected in one environment and then put into another environment for analysis. So instead of trying to detect whether I'm executing an analysis environment, I would just assume any environment that is different from the one I originally infected is analysis environment. And by cryptographically bind the malware to instance to the original infecting host, we think we can threaten the automated malware analysis environment. And the technique we're going to use is two. It's host identity-based encryption and the instruction set localization. So first, this is the figure showing how HIE works. So HIE basically works very similar to existing obfuscation techniques like packing. But instead of using a randomly generated encryption key, HIE will collect information that can be used to uniquely identify a host. So we call it host ID, and use this host ID to derive an encryption key and use that key to protect the malware binaries. So because we think this is very similar to packing, we think it can be easily adopted by attackers. So the first and most important thing is what can be used as a host ID. And I think this is also many reviewers also have these comments asking what can be used as a host ID. So we think it should has four properties. The first is unique, and the second is invariant, which is very similar to existing DRM systems. But for malware, the different thing is the fourth and the third and the fourth. Basically, to not exclude certain hosts from infection target, we cannot require the information collected to require any privilege to collect those information. And we cannot require any special hardware support like DPM. So having these four requirements, one question is there any information that we can leverage? And we think yes. For example, on Windows host, we think the following information can be used as host ID. They can all be retrieved with standard APIs without any privileges. And they are pretty unique, and they are pretty invariant. And one thing to respond for the reviewers' comments is we haven't yet done a quantitative measurement on whether what information can further be used as a host ID. But we believe, for example, the information in the file systems or registers are much more diverse and unique. For example, I can just search your Google Chrome's setup directory and look for the cookies stored there, and which I think is very unique. And or else I can scan your document library and look at maybe the oldest file that is not a system file and use the content of that file as a host ID. So we think it's pretty diverse. And the second problem is deployment, because once you want to use this kind of technique, you have to collect the host ID before you can deploy the malware. And usually shellcode is not powerful enough for this task, so we have to use intermediate download. The problem with intermediate download is if you don't protect that, once the analysts get this download, they can just use this download to get a sample that can run in their analysis environment. So to solve this problem, we propose using one-time URL that is also used in many password reset process. So after that, so each shellcode will have a one-time URL for a single downloader, and that downloader is only valid to download one instance. So you cannot reuse that downloader to repeatedly download samples you want to analyze. So HIE has two advantages, we think, compared to existing packing. The first is based on modern cryptography. So knowing how it works or how the key is generated does not affect the integrity of its protection. The second is it's sample independent. So unlike existing like protection mechanisms used, like if I know this this family, the malware family uses this kind of anti-analysis mechanism, once I know, I can adjust my analysis system or analysis techniques so I can further handle all samples from the same family. But HIE is not. So the information you collected from cracking one sample cannot be reused does not give you any advantages when you want to crack another sample. So the second technique is instruction set localization. We introduced this technique because pure host-based technique is not sufficient resistance to forgery. So this is also a problem for legitimate DRM system. So I think to solve this problem, they introduced this always-online feature. Some of them even go further step to decouple. They decouple some functionality from the client and put them into the server. So with ISL, we're going to do similar things. First, we're going to use a CNC server to authenticate the client based on both its host ID and the network ID, because we think a network ID is much harder to forge. And the second thing, we're going to decouple malicious functionality from the deployed binary and put it into the server, so you cannot do any offline analysis. So here's a figure explaining how HIE works. On the right side is the delivered binary. It contains no malicious functionality, but just an emulator. So we use instruction set virtualization. So once it gets executed, it will collect the host ID, submit to the CNC server, and ask for a task. At the CNC server side, it will collect its network ID combined with its host ID and generate a specific instruction set for that combination of IDs, and use this instruction set to encode the real malicious functionality into bytecode. And then this bytecode is sent back to the binary to interpret. So as we can see, if there is any deviation from within the host ID or network ID from the runtime environment, from the infection time environment, the two instruction sets, that is the instruction set used to encode the malicious task and the instruction set the malware used to interpret the task will be different. Therefore, it cannot the task will not be interpreted correctly. And here's two attributes we think can be used as network ID. First is geolocation, because the IP address is not stable. By using geolocation, especially at a higher granularity, like a state or province level, we think we can tolerate a certain level of mobility, like bring your laptop from office to school, like to home. And the second is, as a complementary, is autonomous system numbers. And we think because we use this because geolocation sometimes is outdated or incorrect. And again, this information is collected at the server side. So we think it's intractable, difficult to forge. So here is an alternative effective way to bind a unique instruction set to the host, because sometimes the attacker may think binding, generating a specific instruction set to a host may be too complicated. Here is another way to do that is involve a task encryption and decryption key, which is very similar to HIE, but this key is derived from both the host ID and the network ID. So at infection time, the server will embed this task decryption key generated from its host ID and network ID in the binary. And at runtime, it will generate this the runtime encryption key again and use it to embed the task. Okay, I think I will skip this for that. So ISL also has very many advantages. First is more extensible. It's much like a malware platform as a service. The second is the behavior identification is more complicated because the binary does not have any malicious functionality. The third is it's resistant to analysis and tracking, and even if you want to play main the middle or replace the CNC server, it's more difficult. So having this, our question is, are attackers going to adopt these techniques? And we think maybe yes, because we can find the flashback malware, which is a popular malware for MacBook, and it uses similar techniques as we think. So we think, yeah, attackers are on their way to approach similar goals or use similar techniques. So here is some discussion. First, I think it's operating security. So basically talking about the advantage of HIE and ISL. Because of the time, I'm going to skip this and talk more about potential countermeasurement. So the first idea, or straightforward idea, is why not analyze this malware just in the environment it's infected. So it has a problem because first, if the infection time is legitimate system, analysis means letting the malware run in that system, which is obviously not possible. And the second is if the infected system is a honeypot, is it okay? Yeah, it's okay, but high interaction honeypot has many problems because you don't have control of when it will get infected, how many malware will infect it. And besides, the sample can be collected using high interaction honeypot is only a small portion of all collected samples. So another idea is to duplicate the infected environment inside the analysis environment. We think this is also not very feasible because first, based on the host ID, which information used for host ID, it's could involve many policy or privacy issues like your cookies, like your documents. And the second more important part is to duplicate network ID requires you to deploy the analysis system at a global scale. And we don't think this has ever been done or will ever be done. So instead, another countermeasurement is just if you cannot duplicate network ID, just duplicate host ID and lock and replay the network activities. But we think this is also can be defeated. You just use like SSH, SSL to encrypt the SYNCIS channel, and the SSL guarantee is not replayable. So the last countermeasurement we think about is if we cannot analyze it, can we just make the property used by malware unstable, so it will not execute even in the infected environments? I call this allergy attack. This is possible, but it also has problem because the information used by malware can also be used by many legitimate software. We haven't done a quantitative research or measurement on this, but we think it can affect many legitimate software, especially software that use legitimate DIMs. And so therefore, the success of this approach really relies on whether the user will treat usability treats security over reusability. So in conclusion, historically, malware has been analyzed environment well, but we have shown that malware can be environment obvious, and it's likely to be because of this flashback malware. So our takeaway for this paper is really a future work must mitigate these protections, or more importantly, we should, as researchers, we should look into alternative ways to handle the problem of malware, to just come up with new operation models or new techniques, not just relying on analysis and using signatures to identify malware. Thank you.